Hello, everyone, and welcome back to a new Wrestle Reaction episode. Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, we're on the air. The boys from Long Island are bringing you all of the latest in wrestling news, gossip, and, of course, expertise. I am your host, Frank Manzo, along with my co-host, little NWO style here, Joe Omega.
What's up there? There you go, Kid Omega, along with the mountain of molten lust, Frank Manzo, bringing you Wrestle Reaction. Mixed reactions last night from a few people on
all
last night's
Monday
Night Raw. All over the place. Good, because, you know,
we need something to
talk about. Some people think I look like a bum tonight. It's all right. No big deal. I got my Darth Vader hoodie on, Mark Echo. But we want to get right into the headline here. Headline, what do we have? Why are people still hating on Frank's boy? He's been with them since the very beginning.
Yeah, I mean,
the Ryback.
I threw it right up there on the top of our notes, Joe, because I wanted to get it out there because I just am not understanding why everybody is so quick to hate on the Ryback so quickly. I don't think his promos have been that bad the past couple weeks. It's not Ric Flair award-winning stuff, and it's never going to be. But that doesn't mean that he can't play the part that he plays in the WWE world, and that is he's a big guy, he's a tough talker, he's obviously not going to be that smooth, arrogant, flashy kind of guy. He's going to be a guy who's just going to bring it with intensity, and I happen to like how Ryback's doing. I think every time he goes out there on the microphone, he gets better and better. I don't see the problem with it. I mean, I see hate all over the place. Last night, I see people like, oh, so Ryback needs to go put on his leather jacket and his snow cap. And it's like, what do you have against the guy getting in street clothes and coming out like that, making an appearance like that? Like, why all the hate? I just don't understand it. I just think it's one of those things where everybody needs to jump on some kind of internet bandwagon. And I've had just about enough of it. And tell you the truth, I think Extreme Rules is going to be judgment day for Ryback, Joe, because he is going up against John Cena. One-on-one WWE Championship, main event of the night. I don't see Triple H and Brock Lesnar going on after John Cena in the title match. So I think this is Ryback's proving ground, and I think they're going to have a good match. Cena's injury withstanding, obviously.
Well, with the Ryback, a lot of people think he's just getting by, people said in our chat room. Also, drink Vegas fuel. That's what we are drinking here. Frank's got the can. I got it in the cup. No big deal. But anyway, back to the Ryback. A guy who was on quite a losing streak at pay-per-views.
Oh,
so
no doubt.
Look for that to continue.
Even Mark Henry at Mania. Who saw that coming?
Look for that to continue. The guy's got the look WWF likes, WWE likes. Excuse me, I can't believe I said that.
He literally dropped
an F-bomb. We're talking WWF video games right now in the chat. Anyway, back to the Ryback. You know, he's got the look that they like. They're going to continue to go with him. Turning him heel, you know, I mean, how many heels do we have now? That's my thing. Like the way they built this character from the beginning. He gets the big match because Cena couldn't go. He loses. He gets another match. He loses. This is all as a face. So I guess in turn,
continuously a
victim to the Shield. Now he's a heel. And then last night you team up with Cena, all for him to not team up with Cena.
Right.
And then actually be there.
Yeah, which I know is something you wanted to talk about.
Well, which I will get into that a little later. I didn't see I didn't see how that made
sense.
I didn't see how that made sense at all. And then they give him two partners, which should be better than the heel Ryback anyway.
Right, exactly. He actually had made out on that, to tell you the
truth. So whether or not the Ryback is going to get over as a heel, it can't depend on his promos.
No, it's not going to be his strong suit, but I'm just saying that I think he's done a good job carrying it forward so far. I don't see the scrutiny. Like, people wanted to bash last week's Ryback Foley ending, to tell you the truth. Even after we did our show last Tuesday, I went back and watched the segment again, not having to do a commentary on it, just because I wanted to see what's what. And I didn't think it was that bad. I mean, Foley always brings good emotion to the game.
Yes.
He's got that reputable career where when he goes out there and says something, it's supposed to mean something in pro wrestling. So having Ryback stand off with a guy like that was good. And I just think that he continues to do good. And last night was a good situation also. You got him rebelling against the people in charge of Raw, telling Vicky that he was out of there,
yes,
showing up in the street clothes. Maybe it was a little bit of a weak ending just to have him standing there staring at Cena get jumped by the Shield at the end or whatever, or lose the match. I'm sorry, excuse me, but it's just, what did that do? It just brought another week. because honestly, they're dealing with a huge gap between pay-per-views right now. I think that is what's going on.
In fact, you know what? That's something I actually wanted to bring up. I was seeing that yesterday. And that is the huge gap that WrestleMania leaves. And now, I really don't think that we should have to wait till May for this pay-per-view.
But see, you know, Wacho, on the same time, I'm going to defend the current schedule because they did bring it back down to only 12 pay-per-views a year.
Very, very true.
That I like.
I do like 12. You know, I like
14 a year.
But at the same time, the way WrestleMania is booked nowadays as the big headline show, the moneymaker show.
Showcase of the top guys.
Yes, the showcase of the top guys. It's really hard now to wait around this many weeks for the next pay-per-view.
Yeah, I agree.
But in turn, it could be a good thing because you do have a lot of time to make some new feuds.
Right.
As we saw last night, a new one could be boiling up with Kofi Kingston and Big E Langston.
Correct.
But, I mean, I just... WrestleMania was early April. We're at the end of April. We have to wait all the way to May. What is it? 20-some-odd?
May 19th.
May, yeah, it was 24th. May
Sunday,
19th.
May 19th.
And, you know, it's a little too long. You get a little restless waiting for that.
Absolutely.
Get a little restless. I'm a little restless.
And I agree with you, Joe. And most people would say, well, but this is the withdrawal and the slow point of the business and everything else. But, I mean, maybe, and you would only hope so because you're doing business and you're an entertainment company, but maybe a couple of people tuned into your Mania show and enjoyed it. And they want to see the next thing after that. And it is now a big stretch. So, yeah, it could have been a little shorter. But you know what? This is what we're working with. I don't think they're doing such a bad job. And that brings me into one of the main things I wanted to talk about tonight is basically how they booked last night's Raw. Because, like you said, Joe, a lot of people having different reactions to what went on last night. Before I even get started, by the way, get over to WrestleReaction.net. Get in the chat room if you're watching the show live right now. Whole bunch of good people in there talking a lot of good stuff. Like Joe said, they're talking about video games, other good stuff going on. And by the way, chat with us. Give us a call. Lines are open. 323-300-5350. Call on to the show. We want to hear what you have to say, what you thought of Raw last night, what you think could be happening in Extreme Rules, if you think that The Shield are the greatest wrestlers in the history of pro wrestling. Whatever you have to say, bring it on. I'd love to hear it. But getting back to what I was saying, Raw last night, booking. A lot of people pleased, a lot of people not pleased. I've heard all kinds of different things. Long matches weren't good, horrible, gimmicky, terrible 80s-style segments weren't good, main event was kind of weak, why was Ryback just staring there at the entrance at the ending, and why did it end after like that? Okay, so after all of this, what did you think of the show last night?
Well, number one, first of all, Doug O'Mac just said in the chat room, he thought matches were pay-per-view quality. I had no problem with the long matches. We have a three-hour show. I don't want to see a bunch of segments. I'd rather see some matches.
Some segments, for sure.
So, obviously, we have to sell storyline here. This is entertainment. But I really thought the Cody Rhodes, Randy Orton match is excellent. Number one. That's right off the bat. I like the I like the main event. Frank, you brought up earlier that having the Shield in a main event actually makes six-man tags a little more meaningful.
Relevant. Because I don't know about you guys, but I usually develop a little bit of a snooze fest when they typically have Raw main events that are like 3-on-3s. 4-on-4s. They usually don't make them, you know, too interesting. It ends up in a lackluster ending, and it always seems like those are the Raws that just kind of come off a little cheesy and lackluster. But now you've got last night 3-on-3, where I felt like, okay, this is the Shield. People want to see them. They are main event status. Whether or not you want to accept it or not, whether or not you think it was before or after they worked with The Undertaker, I think before.
I agree. I think when the Shield comes on TV, people are watching. They want to see what they're going to do and who they're going to beat up. Because this is, like I said last night, this is the future of WWE. And I think they're really, really handling all three men really well. And they had them go over John Cena pretty much last night. Roman Reigns, who, like I told you earlier, I think got the pinfall over Cena because of the body. He's the big body guy. I mean, I was happy to see Daniel Bryan not take the pinfall finally.
It looked more believable for Big John Cena to get beat
by Roman Reigns. I don't think they wanted Rollins or Ambrose to pin him. Even though Ambrose is doing the singles matches, that is just because they feel he's the most polished in the ring right now.
Right.
Also, you had Dolph Ziggler versus Kofi Kingston, part 937. But part 937 of a very good match that we always enjoy.
All 937 were probably excellent matches.
Of course.
And it's the truth.
And of course, maybe Big E Langston gets a shot at the United States Championship down the road. When I first saw this, I'm like, I don't like the way they booked the United States Champion again. all the guy that holds the belt does is lose. If you think about it, all the guy does is lose.
No,
Cesaro had it. He got buried, and we know what happened to him. But of course, he goes out there and puts on another stellar match.
Sets it up
with Alberto Del Rio.
I think they'll have. I like you said about Big E. I think he will definitely have a match with Kofi at Extreme Rules.
That's and I'll be looking forward.
Cesaro, interesting. Let's bring that up. You brought him up. Report today. I see that Cesaro apparently does not have backstage heat. I never thought he did. And people right away, as soon as they see a guy on a little bit of a losing streak or something of the sort, they think that there has to be some hatred or scandal or heat or whatever else. And not everything has to be a Alex Riley, John Cena situation. So Cesaro, not stepping on anybody's toes, not on anybody's hit list, but apparently just one of the victims of the WWE writing game. And people just are not consistent week to week. Yeah, they want to book the Shield high. They want to book Hell No high. They want to book Ryback and Cena high. But there are guys that just get lost back and forth in the shuffle every week, up and down. This is your back 10, 15 of your Power 25 every week that they're going all over the place. I'm talking about guys like Cody, Antonio, Kofi, who was on a huge losing streak for a while before he started having some premium matches.
He was. You have
some guys there that are just really just always in this circle rotation. One minute they're on a great tear and having amazing matches and even getting wins over guys they maybe shouldn't. The next they're jobbing all over the place and yodeling as they do their entrance.
Yeah, I'm not so a fan. I mean, people want to know, like, how is Vince McMahon not a Cesaro guy? He's got the look.
The only thing I know, and this is a popular question, why is the uppercut not Cesaro's finisher? Because then he would actually have to pin people and beat them after the uppercut, and that's not the plan right now, guys. He's losing. He's not doing well, and they want to show that bad boy off. And it's working because it's a great trademark. But still, I would like to see his finisher. But like I said, it only works if you're going to actually have the guy win. And it's not in the plans right now.
Well,
Vince likes him.
Of course. Bottom line is, with these quote-unquote ROH guys, you look at the ROH guys, Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, ROH guys, they found it in WWE. In WWE, you can't just be the wrestler. Cesaro was a great wrestler.
Right.
But look at the entertainer Daniel Bryan's become.
Right, exactly.
Well, did he have that in ROH if you don't look back? No, he was a great wrestler. Even CM Punk, he had the entertainer. He always had the mouth.
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to drop a bomb right here.
Go ahead, drop it.
And I know some people might disagree with me. I stand firm on this. And I'm not even a huge fan of either guy. I'm a fan, but I'm not a huge fan. I think Daniel Bryan is better than CM Punk.
You always say
it. I strongly believe it, and I'm going to say it for the main reason right now. It's not about bell to bell. It's not about look, move arsenal, whatever else you want to judge it on. I'm going to judge it on what matters in the big leagues in WWE, and that is the fact that when you look at their two careers, which guy has been more memorable and noticeable, even doing mid-card, bullcrap, backstage segments and other stuff like that? Daniel Bryan has learned the secret to being successful in sports entertainment. Not pro wrestling, sports entertainment. And that is, you stay relevant and you make yourself every single segment and do something memorable. And like I say all the time, great wrestler, funny entertainer, just a total switch between his comedy and then going out there and getting business done. Daniel Bryan is Kurt Angle of WWE right now.
A little smaller than Kurt Angle.
No, but you know what I'm saying. I'm sure you know what I'm saying.
I know what you mean. He's got the comedy also. Then he could turn it on to be serious.
Yeah.
He's got the beard, as Star Trek just said.
And he can be devious and be that heel and jump you and trash you and steal your girlfriend and everything else. And it all works. But then he's got me and you cracking up just with it's not Brothers of Destruction and Daniel Bryan. It's Team Hell No and The Undertaker. And just like
great.
The guy just with a couple of lines like that, Punk's great too.
You got it. You have to find that. Cesaro hasn't found that yet.
I don't know if
he Punk, may, but he may not.
I don't know if Punk could survive where Bryan is right now. Well, if he could get himself noticeable.
The only thing that Punk, I don't think, could do as well as Bryan is the comedy stuff. You know they could both be very devious.
Oh, no.
Let's go back to the Straight Edge Society, okay? Punk dropping pipe bombs.
No,
but Bryan has that comedy edge. And I don't know if CM Punk would ever make fun of himself like Daniel Bryan can. I don't think CM Punk has that in him.
He's too
almost
serious.
Like Bret Hart would never do such a thing, but he has the edge. But either way, those two guys, Ring of Honor guys, Antonio Cesaro, Ring of Honor guy, needs to find it in WWE. It could take a while, but he's got the ring ability.
But getting back to Raw and the booking of it, I mean, Joe, you seem to like it. There were a lot of strong matches. But I think the beauty of it, honestly, and it was not a great show. I just happened to enjoy the 3 hours overall that I watched last night. I thought, in my total judgment of the night, the bad segments weren't terrible. And the matches that were there, they lived up to quality matches, like Doug said in the chat before, pay-per-view quality matches. So if your bad stuff is not terrible and your matches that you need to actually fill that gap and have some good ring time live up to the hype or slash exceed it, it sounds like you had a successful Raw. Even if that is just jumping above the 5 out of 10, you're still more of a thumbs up than a thumbs down. So I personally enjoyed it. I thought the matches lived up to it. I didn't think the tug of war was terrible. I know you said the same thing, Joe. Kind of had that 80s throwback feel. Maybe a little superposed down action.
Like I said, I didn't mind it. And I believe our boy Jay from Pro Wrestling Powerhouse, he said it had a Dino Bravo type throwback. And if you know the 80s wrestling, they always had some kind of gimmick. Sure. Dino Bravo World, you know, Canada's Strongest Man.
Right.
He did the push-ups with Earthquake on his back.
Wasn't overly long.
No, and I really did not mind this tug of war segment. Another segment that I didn't mind, which was kind of a joke, was the Ricardo Rodriguez, Biggie Langston, Zeb Colton.
That was kind of out of nowhere. I started wrong.
And
like,
entertaining,
oh my God,
because
what are we in for?
Entertaining because the guy like Ricardo Rodriguez has it, and he's got the fans. He knows what he's doing. This guy can get over as a wrestler right now.
Ricardo had one of the biggest ovations in the Royal Rumble that year that he entered with the hoopty and with Del Rio's music. I will never, ever forget how big of an ovation.
Big ovation. I'll never forget.
I think he got the biggest
one of the best parts.
Del Rio would have
got
him in there. No question. So, you know what? It's about time that they took Ricardo, who's obviously over
Justin,
as a manager.
As I tweeted last night, the victory slide. How don't you love that?
Awesome. It's just they've done a good job. Tell you the truth. I like Del Rio. Growing on me.
He's
now.
Growing on me.
I mean, he's having good
He's
matches.
Growing on me, but Ricardo's helping so much.
And let's jump into it. You know, you're talking about the opening. What did that lead to? Ricardo, rolls up for the win, and now they get to pick the stipulation. Del Rio gets to go on later and fight. Cesaro beats him, and they announce what I predicted
earlier
on the show. And I
Jazz
was so
last night,
happy
said,
to
Hope
get
ladder
this
match.
Triple threat ladder match. All three guys passed Money in the Bank ladder match winners.
Yes.
So, and former world champions. So, this is going to be a hell of a match. And I think for a card that is a little different than WWE had on paper, probably around WrestleMania time, it's shaping up pretty nicely. I don't know if it's going to be Extreme Rules 2012, which I personally thought was the best pay-per-view event of the whole year, but I think this is going to be a good one. I think the cage match will entertain with Lesnar and Triple H. I think this triple threat ladder match was an insanely great idea, and I'm really looking forward to that. Maybe the most on the whole card now. And obviously, anytime you have a title situation where Ryback is in this, we don't know if they're going to make him lose again. They're trying to make him formidable. John Cena now has an injury. Where do you go with that? What goes on here? This pay-per-view, Joe, may have just been another filler, but it seems now like it actually has to progress some things.
Well, last year's was a big progression.
Excellent.
And I really think that WWE is going to go in this direction, especially with it being the pay-per-view after WrestleMania. It could have a lot of rematches like WrestleMania had, but at the same time, these matches could be just that little bit better because of stipulations.
Yeah.
And ladder matches, I mean, I'm a big fan of ladder matches. Everyone knows Shawn Michaels had a match with the ladder. That's what they say.
I think it's kind of a disrespect to a great wrestler.
Yeah, as do I.
I mean, it's not like he was in there with the Brooklyn Brawler.
No,
we're talking
no.
about Razor Ramon Scott.
But what I'm saying is the spots you could do with the ladder.
Oh, no, I understand.
We all know.
I was there live.
We all know the kind of spots you could do with the ladder. We all know the kind of element it brings to the match.
Yeah.
And I think Doug O'Mac is saying that this match should be the match of the night.
I think
he's going
it
to
has
be his
a
match.
Very, very good shot to be match of the night. I really do. Just going back and thinking of, I believe, 2 years ago, Del Rio versus Christian in the ladder match at Extreme Rules.
And Christian won it?
Great, great match.
I like it.
Very, very good. So Del Rio having some of his best work right now. I think that go back and watch it when Mania comes out on DVD and Blu-ray. Del Rio and Swagger had a hell of a WrestleMania match. Went and watched a couple of times now. Then you think about, let's add Dolph Ziggler, who may be the best wrestler on the roster, and a ladder. Money. Money. World Heavyweight Championship match that I want to see.
Exactly what I was going to say. I was just going to say the World Heavyweight Championship maybe actually means something to some people, and people want to see who's in the match. Is it because Dolph Ziggler? If Ziggler was not in this match...
If this was Del Rio versus Swagger in a ladder match, I'd be interested to see it. I wouldn't be half-marking out like I am right now. No.
So Dolph Ziggler is the cherry on top.
It's kind of like that perfect element that you're adding to it, which, you know, is, I believe, definitely better wrestler than Swagger. I believe probably a better wrestler than Del Rio, but Del Rio, I think, has a few tricks to him that keeps him pretty level with Ziggler. So I expect the two of them to really work the element of the match. Swagger, obviously, a bigger guy than the two of them.
Yeah.
He's going to work it a little bit different, but having that mixture in there, always a good thing. I just think this is going to be phenomenal. This is three good guys to book together. And like I said, great Mania match between Del Rio and Swagger, and Ziggler in a ladder, money. All day long, money.
Doug O'Mac says Swagger versus Del Rio ladder match would be at best 6 out of 10. So either way, he's giving it higher ratings than Bret Hart probably would.
Agree. And everybody knows the Swagger Money in the Bank was not.
And he said,
in
Ziggler, you're going to get 9 out of 10.
Yeah, I agree. And everybody knows the Swagger Money in the Bank at Mania 26 was not one of the best matches, but it was okay.
Doug O'Mac, Wrestling Rumors.
Wrestling
also
Rumors.
Also host of Ringside Manners.
Oh, yes. Very good. Show will be back soon, I heard, by the way. New and improved.
Follow him, by the way, at Doug O'Mac. Good guy. Letting the turtle lines.
Joe, John Cena's injury. Let's get into
it. Not that big of a deal, I really feel like it.
Latest news today from the Wrestling Observer, obviously the master, Dave Meltzer himself, is that this is a significantly bruised heel. That is what I'm hearing.
I say John Cena, maybe stays off it for a week. He'll ice it down every night. The bruise is going to go down. He may wrestle a little padding in his shoe, maybe a different kind of shoe, if it helps. But I don't see this injury being anything serious. I've had a really, really bruised heel before, and I think John Cena will go with it.
I agree. I don't think there's going to be any major change here. I think John Cena stays in the focus. I do believe he retains the WWE Championship. I don't see this as a major injury. I think he works through it. I think maybe he wins by DQ. I don't know if Ryback gets a clean loss here. I mean, he's been beaten so many other times. But if you're really going to get behind changing the Ryback character, building him up to maybe be a top heel, be a formidable opponent, not just for Cena, but other guys who are established faces, Sheamus, Orton, other people like that, who we can actually draw with, I think the smart thing to do here is make him look good against Cena out of everybody. So that would be good business. But let's play a little fantasy warfare right now, Joe. If Cena is really, really, really hurt, and he just has to get away for a month or two, the title needs to go on somebody else. Do you put it on Ryback at Extreme Rules? If you do, do you keep it on him? Is that what's best for business? Or is there somebody else that you're thinking of, something else we could possibly do?
Well, I'm right now trying to think of anybody who is even in that picture right now. I mean, Mark Henry, forget him now. Ryback's heel. Mark Henry's in a little program with Sheamus. Randy Orton's face. He's kind of just doing his own thing right now, floating in limbo, but having good matches. It's got to be the Ryback.
I agree. I'm just throwing this out there because I was thinking about it the other day.
It's got to be the right
one. And I wanted to share with our audience, but I don't. If John Cena really went down, and now Punk is like, I'm not coming back. I got my vacay time.
I'm thinking that exactly for Punk. Punk is out of the equation.
And obviously, they were supposed to have The Rock for this pay-per-view, and that's not even happening. So you got to shift them some top talent. And with Cena really going down, if that were to happen, we don't think so. Ryback, top draw champion? I don't know.
Who else even has a say in the WWE title right now? Who's like? Who else has seen
even? I'm gonna throw this out there, and just everybody think about it. It probably will not happen, but just to give my thoughts.
I know who it is.
If I'm in the war room with Vince and Cena's out, and I say to ourselves, "The Rock is down, Cena's
out." Here comes the pain.
Here comes the pain. Brock Lesnar.
I knew it.
WWE champion. Because.
But.
Okay.
So he goes in,
appearances
beats Cena.
Here and there.
No,
who does he fight?
Forget appearances. So now we go Brock Lesnar versus the Ryback.
Maybe.
Because the Ryback wants the title, right?
Maybe you get...
Or does the Ryback just want John Cena?
That's a good question, too. I think this is about Ryback and the title. I think they use the title to fuel the Ryback character into a change, and I like that, Joe, because me and you always like anything when they bring importance to championship belts. So the only reason why I say this is out of pure business. If you had that many top guys go down and out, you throw it on Lesnar. Even if it's for a little bit, it would create that buzz. And just imagine creating buzz in a time where notoriously this is your lowest part of the year for business and it's your WrestleMania hangover. And then you have, like last year, think about last year. Mania's done. Oh, it's going to be the slow season.
I'm thinking,
holy crap, Cena's fighting Brock Lesnar in the main event of Extreme Rules. How cool was that?
But how did we get that match to happen?
Oh, I don't know.
Brock, I mean, I thought Brock Lesnar should have won last time.
Oh,
I still think. I mean, it was. I mean,
I agree.
Especially after he lost, they made it like he won anyway.
Yeah, but how cool would it be for them to do world title business together?
Well, the thing with Brock is that if he wins, who does he have after Cena?
It's true.
If I mean, obviously, Cena.
My idea:
Cena comes back,
have Punk come back, and give everybody there.
Oh yeah.
Give everybody their dream
SummerSlam
match that they're talking about.
SummerSlam.
When
Punk
are we
going to
see
Brock?
Punk versus Brock? And why is it going to happen? Well, Frank Manzo just laid it out for you. Brock wins the belt.
People are calling for
CM Punk only cares about the belt, and Paul Heyman is stuck right in the middle of the two of them.
Smart Mark is yelling no. Jazz says not going to happen. Jazz, this is hypothetical here.
It's war room.
Smart Mark says terrible idea. Smart Mark says hashtag dead wrong.
It is dead wrong. It's not going.
No,
to
it's
happen.
Not. But this is
it's not going.
Fantasy
to happen,
warfare.
Okay?
Fantasy.
Rainbow Land is not a real place. Okay.
You know, no, Vinnie Mac comes walking in and says, "This is garbage." No. Throws it in trash.
Actually, tell you the truth, I think Vince would like a lot.
You think
of
Vince
that
would
because
like?
Because I think Brock would draw, and I'm totally.
Sexy Julia thinks it's too complicated for WWE writers, which I have to agree with. 100%.
Which is why we should still hire me, by the way. No, but I'm just laying out. If you had a disaster scenario, where do you go from there? You want to keep drawing with the belt. You want to keep a top star up top. You want to do something interesting. And Joe,
love
by
the
way,
interaction,
I don't know about you. I'm not advocating Punk versus Lesnar. I think it's a terrible idea. I don't want to see it. But I've heard so much crap about it for 6 months now about, oh my God, Punk's going to fight him. When's it going to happen?
It would be money. It would draw.
I don't like the matchup.
No, I'm just saying.
It's believable for me for Cena to beat up Lesnar. It's believable
yes,
for Triple H.
You know how I am
Lesnar.
With the guy's size.
CM Punk got denied from entrance to Madison Square Garden because
yes,
the guy didn't even
didn't
think he was a real pro wrestler. Give me a break.
No, exactly. Punk, I just don't see his. I mean, but also then you see Punk. Is he believable to beat The Undertaker?
No,
it wasn't believable. For
and
that
that's idea. Why. I, and that's why I'm.
So
still,
then, what does that say about CM Punk's legitimacy as a WWE champion?
Well, it just says the first. It just says some of the fans are stupid because they.
A lot of people, by the way, Justin J. Hill has been screaming the whole time for Dave Bautista.
Oh my God! First of all, I like Bautista. I always have. Joe, I think you've been a big fan of Bautista too.
I like
Bautista. I mean, the guy's a power worker. He's not a polished ring veteran, but I always thought he brought something kind of cool to the table, and he was one of those big guys that could actually work. Okay, so I don't think it's happening, though. He's got some shooting. Maybe he comes back around SummerSlam time, maybe even the night after SummerSlam. But, I mean, listen, if you're going to knock me for what I just threw on the table, I'm hearing people on other shows.
Sorry, Blunt said Batista first.
Okay. I'm hearing other people on other shows talking about, oh, the Shield should collectively become WWE champion.
Collectively?
Are you kidding me?
I don't like it. That's a stupid idea.
Stop marking out, okay? That's what
idea.
I have to say to all of you. Stop
like
marking out.
Either
stop getting down on your knees.
Either way, Cena's going
to
be
there.
You
have to be a lover.
I say Cena holds on to the belt at Extreme Rules.
It's no doubt about it. Cena works through the injury. It's not as bad as everybody thinks. He's good. Stop marking out. Cena keeps the belt.
PJ wants Daniel.
Where's he go after that?
PJ says, what about Daniel Bryan versus Cena SummerSlam?
I love it. I don't know if it happens at SummerSlam. I think at some point down the line, Bryan has to do business with Cena. I think it's going to be
great. His future brother-in-law?
Great.
Was this Bret Hart versus British Bulldog at SummerSlam?
I didn't.
But personally, like we've said it
can
for
you
a while.
Of,
now.
Can you look at the Bella Twins without thinking of John Cena and Bryan? Literally,
sadly, no. Either way, though, I mean, we've been saying this for a little while that Daniel Bryan and Kane have done such great business as a tag team, but Daniel Bryan is so freaking over. This guy's got to go back into the singles. Great matches, great promos.
It will happen. Jericho was for a while. Jericho went right back to doing singles, big stuff. Big Show even went back to main eventing singles with Cena and doing programs.
I don't even think that Kane and Bryan should even feud after they break up.
No.
I think it should be a hug and go their separate ways.
I think Kane
and that's that.
Needs a vacation, and he should just get taken out. And have him go out, get a little time off. Guy's been on the road a long time. He's 46 years old. Give him a little time off. Let Brian separate.
Smart Mark calling, yelling. Brian versus Ziggler. Who wouldn't want to see that?
I think it's everybody's Mania 30 World Heavyweight Championship dream match at this point right now. Why not?
Sexy Julia says, no, not Kane. Moving on.
Some in WWE still feel that The Rock and WWE have had a serious disconnect since WrestleMania, and there's not a good relationship there. But other people inside WWE are saying that this is nothing but your typical Rock gossip. What do you think?
I think it's a little bit of both. I do. I think there are some people within WWE who are a little who Rock rubbed the wrong way with this whole injury thing and not fulfilling his pay-per-views. But I feel like there's other people like Triple H who may be the most important person who does not feel that way and is all for The Rock and thinks The Rock, it, you know, is legit, taking time off he needs, and is not trying to screw anybody in WWE. Some of the people under him, I think that's where the rumblings are coming from. Like, oh, you know, maybe even some of the roster, but not the guy that matters most right now, and I think that's Triple H.
Yeah, I think the roster, clearly guys are bitter about where they are, and they start rumors like this and spreading things like this. So it could be true, could be false. I think there probably was something that happened with the night after WrestleMania on Raw. They downplayed it because originally the reports were pretty bad. Rock brushed it off like, oh, no, they knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
There had to be some kind of miscommunication for all those reports to come out. So I don't think it was as bad as they made it seem. But I think at this point it's kind of like, okay, we did three WrestleManias worth of business. Rock passed the torch. Let's just let it go for now. See what happens. I don't think, by the way, putting it down on the table right now, I don't think The Rock fights a match at WrestleMania 30.
You're gonna say he's out for the near future?
Yeah.
For a while.
Just for the foreseeable future, booking from now until the next.
So Rock is done. So now, being that said, and I know a lot of people in the chat room are calling for it, no Rock at WrestleMania 30. Do we see Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Yes. I think Vince McMahon immediately says to himself, okay, this is great. I mean,
do we see Stone Cold in one match like he says?
Yeah.
Do we see Stone Cold versus CM Punk?
Yes.
And do we see Punk go down again?
I think you see Stone Cold versus CM Punk and Undertaker versus John Cena.
WrestleMania 30.
WrestleMania
30. Are we booking it?
Is it too early to book it?
I mean, we're not pulling a Bleacher Report. The next wrestler is 20 years down the line that ain't be champs.
Yeah. I'm surprised there wasn't an article today about those three Make-A-Wish kids last night being the future stars in 10 years on Bleacher Report. Sick company.
Pedro says Austin versus the Cena is the money. I don't see why it's not money, but I think that Punk and Austin both want a piece
of
each
other. They want each other. They do.
And that's who they want to work with.
Yeah, I definitely agree Cena and Austin could be pretty freaking money.
Oh, definitely money.
If you're going to – I just – I don't know. I'm one of those guys that's just always felt that it's been destined for Taker to fight Cena at Mania 30.
Cena, and that's why.
It's like –
because you just never
know. If he doesn't fight The Rock – and I said this last week – three Mania opponents for Taker next year. If I'm wrong, I'll quit this show. Rock, Lesnar, John Cena. I'm taking The Rock off the table. I don't think he's going to fight at Mania 30. Brock or Cena? I think they go Cena, maybe. Yeah. What does Brock do?
Think about that scenario. I'm screaming for right Brock now. Taker. I've been screaming it because we've seen
save it for 31?
I mean, we saw the interaction at UFC. Everybody saw
Come
it.
On, man.
Everyone knows there may be legit heat there, and I think that's money because I know Brock Lesnar's money. I know Brock Lesnar's money, and you know the streak is money. But is it more money than Cena Taker? For the casual fan.
I think they're both equally money. Like, if you had that WrestleMania and that WrestleMania, and we literally could simulate them, you know, you might be off by 50,000 buys out of a million, you know, 100,000. I don't think you're going to have a monumental difference in those two matches. I think those are two matches that people would want to see at WrestleMania, no matter
Pijo,
what.
Pijo, who's always in the chat room, may bring up a good point, even though I do think Undertaker does bring it at WrestleMania. He says that Taker versus Brock may be too physical of a match for Taker to work. I think Taker brings it at Mania.
I don't buy that. For a guy who has been so physical and has kept himself in damn good shape the past couple of years, even better than he was 10 years ago, he was getting a little chubby, which wasn't like him.
And he's, you know, he
can't handle
he brings,
one
I said,
big match.
I was watching, we were just watching Punk versus Taker, and Punk is a much faster worker than Undertaker.
Oh, sure.
And I really just feel, you know, I always am not the biggest Undertaker fan, but this guy always brings it for WrestleMania, and if he's booked with Brock Lesnar, he's going to wrestle the way you need to wrestle Brock Lesnar. He's gonna perform that way.
I don't see any problem. I think 100% within the next 2 years, he will fight Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. To me, Vince said to himself, we need that Mania match. The moment Brock, early before Mania season this year, signed a 2-year extension,
yeah.
Vince goes, I got him for 2 more Manias.
Yes.
We don't need to do it
right away. By the way, Doug O'Mac from Wrestling Rumors Ringside Matters. Do we see Taker in 3 weeks at Extreme Rules?
I believe so. I believe we may get the same match that we got on Raw last week for Extreme Rules again. 3 members of the Shield versus Team Hell No and The Undertaker. That's right. I give the respect to Daniel Bryan.
Yes, not the Brothers of Destruction and Daniel Bryan.
But getting back to the planning just now, so Vince throws Lesnar with Triple H at Mania, and now let's jump into that show.
Okay.
Report comes out today that says we were not supposed to see the cage match between Lesnar and Triple H at Extreme Rules. This was supposed to be saved for SummerSlam. I'm going to say, thank you, God, this is happening now. Now I'm even more happy about this match at Extreme Rules, because I could not even fathom shutting down this feud again after WrestleMania and digging it back up somehow for SummerSlam
again, the third time.
Just let it go. So, yes, we had Mania. We've got the send-off match now in the cage. I think strongly that Brock gets the win here and looks strong. And there you go. Feud done. Triple H and Brock Lesnar probably never wrestle ever again. And I think that's the way to go. Much better than waiting to SummerSlam to dig it back up. It just would have been too much for the WWE fans to handle.
I mean, this is a match that people didn't really want to see at Mania, albeit it was much better.
People didn't really want to see it at SummerSlam.
And no one wants it to be rehashed at this SummerSlam.
For a whole
year, for Brock Lesnar to do this one thing with Triple H, who everyone knows is, what is he? Is he the CEO? Whatever.
COO,
excuse me.
Chief Operating Officer.
And you know that, you know, the smart fans know that Triple H is bringing in talent, and that he's going to fight Brock Lesnar to talent. And it's just one of those feuds that shouldn't go on so long. It should have been one and done, maybe. Respect, boom. But making it 3 to give, hopefully, Brock Lesnar the final advantage in the steel cage, get it done as soon as possible. Extreme Rules is a good place to do it. And also, we said, Brock Lesnar, the cage fighter. I don't know if you went on WWE.com. But they said, does Brock Lesnar have the edge because of MMA? They had the whole thing up with the cage and the octagon.
Smart marketing, right?
And there it is right there. Like I said, they're going to put Brock in a cage sooner or later. I'm going to give myself a Barry Horowitz for that. But it's got to end, and hopefully it ends with a Brock Lesnar victory.
I think definitely it ends with a Brock Lesnar victory. I'm a big event type of guy. I still value events like SummerSlam to be bigger than the rest, hoping WWE gets back to that line of booking someday. So I'm happy to see that this is going to be done now at Extreme Rules. I really am positive that we're not going to get Triple H and Lesnar anymore. And that goes to show me that moving on, SummerSlam, Mania 30, that's not on the table. We're not talking about it. We're getting over it. And Lesnar can move on to some fresh meat. Does he fight Cena again one more time? Probably. I think so. I think that might be in the cards for SummerSlam, to tell you the truth. I think John Cena versus Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship may very well be the main event for SummerSlam this
year. I would not mind seeing it, because they need something to get SummerSlam big again.
Yeah, and they had an excellent match last year at Extreme Rules.
We all know that was pretty much. I think it was match of the year, and I think Brock Lesnar versus John Cena is one of those matches that has a good amount of history from when John Cena was coming up. You could always go right back to that, and in the end, it's one of those matches that you don't know who's gonna win.
First real attention John Cena got in a main event style was fighting Brock Lesnar for the championship. I believe it was at Backlash one year, on one of those smaller pay-per-views of the year. And he got to tangle with the champ in the last match of the night. So that was his up-and-coming. And then it was great how so many years later they were able to rekindle something like that. By the way, we have a little time left. 323-300-5350. Call up, talk to us, let us know what you think. Shoot me down, tell me I'm the worst booker in the business. Let me know if you like Cena versus Lesnar for SummerSlam. By the way, Variety.com reporting that WWE and Yahoo have announced a 30-minute Raw pre-show every single week starting this summer, hosted by me and Joe. No, I'm kidding. That would be friggin' awesome.
Yeah, it should be hosted by me and you. It's probably going to be hosted by Matt Stryker or somebody like that.
You know, I was watching Shawn Michaels' very last match the other day against The Undertaker, his career send-off at Mania 26, and I literally ended the match and said to myself, why, oh why, is Matt Stryker commentating Shawn Michaels' last match? And why do I have
this
to
guy?
To that?
This guy was just, you know, he's giving New Yorkers just a tooly looking, you know, image.
I don't even hate him. It's just like,
I just think he just tries
too much.
I said it last night. I said, JBL brings out the Garvin Stomp, which I'm going to guess 95% of people
have no clue. What
casual fans have no clue what a Garvin Stomp is or who Garvin's first name is, for crying out loud.
Oh, yeah.
The fans that have been fans for a long time do know. But at the same time, he went back but didn't do it in such a nerdy, Mark Tool way that Matt Stryker does it.
Agree. Definitely agree.
If you know who what the Garvin Stomp is in the chat room, give me a thumbs up or a number one or number two or yes or no.
No lying either.
No lying.
Joe, how interesting is it, by the way, that we are going to create a Divas reality show on the E! Channel right now when I feel, and I think you feel also, this is one of the weakest divisions the Divas have ever seen in WWE. I mean,
weakest,
yes, not getting
weakest wrestling-wise or is it or overall weakest look-wise?
Tell me who's the stars.
But
you
but
give me stars.
Look-wise. The eye candy.
Overall, I mean, AJ's hot. She's over.
And the Bellas.
There's no question. The Bellas are over. I think this show would be worth real total if
the Bellas
didn't
back.
Come back. Oh, my God.
I mean, imagine if Maryse was there.
Eve Torres, Maryse, Kelly. These are three girls that you've lost in the past 2 years that were real primetime type girls. I mean, even if you had Maria Kanellis back to do something like this, that's a primetime diva. Obviously, we were traumatized by losing Mickie James years ago.
Oh,
how great she is. And
she loves me, too.
She loves me and Joe. That's a true story.
Love my Ghostbusters shirt.
But
give
anyway,
me a kiss on my cheek.
Very, very strange. And you know what's funny? It's they went out of their way to rush it. This was originally going to be on the
network.
I think you remember that when we went through all
yes.
that last year. But now the network is not going to happen anytime soon, apparently. So you're going to rush this to the E! Channel. And it's just like,
well,
for
E! Is definitely the place to put it.
Good channel. Good choice. Great marketing. Love it. I think that's what this is all about. Vince just said, you know what? Damn it. We have to get a show on there and get some outsourced marketing going on, something that doesn't typically get on there. They did that episode with The Soup, I think, a couple months ago. That was on E-Channel also. That got over really well. I know a lot of casual people I spoke to who don't even watch wrestling saw it, and they actually really liked the episode. So it's good that they branch out and do things like that. I'm just a little concerned that the wrestling fans who actually know what the hell is going on more than anybody else don't have anybody that they really want to tune in and see. I'm a little worried about that. Caitlyn is no star. I don't think she's going to
last or get Sharon Stone.
Demolition is sending her hats apparently last night. Did you see it?
No,
you didn't see it? You didn't see the segment? Caitlyn backstage got a gift from a secret admirer, and it was literally a black hat with like studs. And apparently everybody's saying it was Hornswoggle, who's now her secret admirer, because Hornswoggle is literally the MacGuffin that you just throw into
anything. Well, let's not start that up again.
But anyway, yeah, I immediately thought that it kind of looked like a demolition.
Right,
so
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I heard, yeah. I knew Caitlyn's secret admirer has been going around, but I didn't know that. I didn't see that. I didn't catch the hats.
But is she a star? Is she going
to
be
a
star?
No, Caitlyn's to me doesn't even have the look. I mean, is she a good wrestler? Compared to Beth Phoenix, not even close.
No.
Beth Phoenix was another girl
I would have liked to see on this Divas show if she was there. Absolutely, Beth.
I like
Beth.
But just think about the Divas they had back in the day with the Tori Wilsons and the Sables and
Stacey
the Stacey Keiblers and the Trish Stratus. They just do not compare. I mean, the Divas of the past are just, and Lita, are just
Lita,
head and shoulders above
You're talking about women that we actually cared about watching wrestle. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
We were not going to take that bathroom break that we're talking about. It's so interesting, by the way, how different the top two companies are right now. And I say that very loosely, because even if
who is the top two companies?
It's still way down. Okay?
In WWE's mind, it's Raw and SmackDown are the top two companies.
You're kidding, but how funny is it, Joe, that the Divas in WWE, the women's match, is when apparently we all go to the bathroom or, you know, get out of our seat in the arena and go get a pretzel or whatever it is.
Not for me. I'm not that mean.
And for Impact, they are the highest rated segment on the whole show. Explain that. It is
bad,
shocking.
Bad Impact writing. Too much Hulk Hogan thrown down your throats with Brooke Hogan and every other way.
Who do all the girls give credit for teaching them and warping that Knockouts division?
D'Amore?
Special.
Huh? Scott D'Amore?
Vince Russo.
Vinny Roo.
That New Yankee. York Yankee mother effer. Vinny Roo.
I'm pretty sure D'Amore had it.
He had his hand in it. Like Finley had his hand in the girls in WWE. But according to Velvet Sky, it was Russo.
Bell Holler, and we love her.
Oh yeah, it was Russo who taught them. Listen, you guys are actually characters. You need to do stuff to interact to keep storyline going. They taught them. He taught them how to actually progress and interact with each other, kind of Attitude Era style. And if you ask me, I mean, not just because I am a obviously woman loving man
and a Vinny Roo fan,
by the way, but I actually enjoy seeing some stuff from the Knockouts on Impact, and it's not something that I turn away from right away, like some of the other garbage that they do.
Well, you know, I do like Mickey James.
Brooke Tess.
We like Tara Victoria.
Yeah.
Brooke is gorgeous. We love Velvet.
Taryn Terrell getting
a lot of good reviews, actually.
Mickey always awesome.
And Mickey James always a fave.
So you've
Gail
got
Kim always
girls,
an excellent wrestler.
You've got strong girls.
Awesome
even,
Kong was there.
I'll tell you something, even that last TNA house show we went to when they were trying to get Madison Rain over, she wasn't doing too bad either, to tell you the truth. So it's interesting how the females can be so ignored and not cared about in WWE and literally given a 1 minute, 20 second match last night.
Yeah.
And then in TNA, they gave them the main event segment last week. So it is interesting how the wrestling world works. And I just found that to be interesting. And for somebody who everybody buries as not knowing what the hell he was doing, Russo seems to have done some good stuff over there with that. And Kevin Nash, by the way, gave him credit, saying, the only time I realized how good Vince Russo was when me and him sat in the same room in TNA, and we were the only two guys in the whole company who knew what the hell we were talking about. And that's a big statement right there. So I thought that was all very interesting. Joe, by the way, In Your House DVD set comes out today. Local Best Buy. Okay? Thanks for not having it.
This Best Buy
sucks. The general
manager
got an earful from one Frank Manzo today. You can be sure of that. Okay, I may just send him a copy of this video right here because I do have his email address. But anyway, don't stock my WWE DVDs. But I'm looking forward
to
seeing
you go to this Best Buy. Always in WWE.
It's in the back.
Or in the back. It's not even put on the front for new reasons.
This is how we are treated as wrestling fans, damn it. I'm not going to take it anymore.
Look down upon like lepers.
Unbelievable. Okay.
Lepers, you know, lepers.
But by the way, hosted by Todd Pettengill.
I didn't know that, actually. What a great touch.
Great old school WWE backstage guy. Always liked Todd. Thought he was really into it.
I mean, we all know who the Todd Pettengill replacement was.
Oh, Cole.
Michael Cole.
No doubt about it. He's a total Todd Pettengill
ripoff, especially when he first came. Well, Michael Cole had that little goatee, and he looked terrible. I love Sean Mooney, by the way, PJ.
Sure, yeah. I have Mooney in my head right now.
Is the man, 80s.
Glad to see they brought him back for a couple old school.
Yes, so I like Sean
Anyway,
Mooney.
A lot of good In Your House matches. When you think about In Your House,
I think about a couple of really bad pay-per-views.
I don't think of that many good things, if you're going to do a DVD set and there were a lot of In Your House events, you can definitely pick some.
I'm sure Doug O'Max was Revenge of the Taker. I like the Canadian Stampede because I'm a big Hart Foundation.
That's an amazing show. I would have to say Bret Hart versus British Bulldog at In Your House.
95.
It was December 95. Bret just did a bloodbath. I'd have to say that stands out to me as probably like one of
fully
the
fully loaded.
Yeah, that.
No, remember the Triple H like this with the big cod piece?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, In Your House, rock bottom. DX. I mean, they had fumbling.
I mean, they had a couple of funny names, but we weren't talking WCW Greed or Sin here.
No, New Blood Rising.
I don't think New Blood Rising was totally that was terrible. But Greed and Sin are absolutely horrible.
Yeah, things never to do in your wrestling
company. And Buried Alive was Doug Saber.
Desperate you are, do not reset the whole company and take away championships and redistribute them. That just popped in my head with the New Blood right there. If you watch WCW in 2000, you know what I'm talking
Ground
about.
Ground Zero, Taker, each
bad
potato.
Move.
That's a good one.
Oh, yeah,
Martin brought it up.
I'm sorry.
Beans on toast.
I watched the other day with our friend Jimmy, Mind Game, Shawn Michaels versus Mick Foley. Oh, my God. What a match. And Foley, I'm sorry. Anybody else disagrees with me. I love the original Mankind character. It's just like, it's not him. He's really playing the character. He's in amazing shape as that original Mankind. You know what I mean? Really moving around the ring well. And just seeing Shawn Michaels said, just brought a totally different feel to any kind of wrestling match that Shawn ever had before.
Yeah.
And just,
I always say, when that happened, really, Shawn Michaels was
awesome.
Really, I mean, he had the ladder matches, then he just brought Shawn Michaels to a whole other level.
Yeah.
And it really turned a lot of people's heads that maybe thought Shawn Michaels was just this little pretty boy. By the way, I have to say this, I think it's really, really funny. Justin J. Hill has put an In Your House 2013 pay-per-view name up. Feed Me More.
That's really good.
I think it's perfect.
I could actually see, and the scary part is I could actually see that happening.
Yeah, I mean,
and it's still better than
some of
the crappier pay-per-view names they've used in the past few
years. I mean, I could see, like, In Your House, Cult of Personality, that one, BCM Punks. We got to think of another one. Give me another one. What do you think? Yeah, Feed Me More, Cult of Personality. What does Dolph Ziggler have?
In Your House, Showing Off.
Showing Off.
Come on, what are we talking here?
In Your House, no, Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, I was going to say In Your House, hell yes, hell no.
Hell yes, hell no.
You can do that too, for sure.
In Your House, Hounds of Justice.
I was just going to say Shields of Justice.
Shields of the House, yeah. The Hounds of Justice.
And you can think of some ridiculous.
In Your House, Here Comes the Pain, good video game.
Now, that right there, yes, stolen from the video game.
That's Justin again.
Good stuff right there. Still praised as like probably the best WWE video game ever made. Good stuff. Really looking, by the way.
In Your House, The Champ is Here.
How about the really shitty arcade fighting WWE In Your House video game?
Yeah, I mean, the In Your House video game, I mean, I just talked to Doug about this. I mean, what I did like about it was it had the Warrior in it.
I was just going to say.
It had the Warrior.
I think I strictly bought that game because the Warrior was in it. And Vader, by the way, which was really
cool.
Yeah,
I mean,
Vader was a
Warrior sold me on it.
Warrior's awesome. No doubt about it. And he looked great back in that 96 look with
the blonde hair.
Blue outfit and stuff.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people last night were thinking of the Warrior, by the way, when the Shield threw that out there. Like, even a Warrior.
Even a Warrior. I'm like, wait a second.
Come on, man.
Wait, you should have said even the Celtic Warrior, because when a Warrior, everyone knows we're talking about the Ultimate.
The Warrior.
I mean, just think
about
it.
Not the Renegade.
Hypothetically, if the Ultimate Warrior's music would have hit last night, just say. Mark out moment of like the last 10, 15 years. Just saying. I don't care. Ultimate Warrior could come back anytime and beat Triple H.
The only thing it could be compared to me was the surprise that Bret was coming back and hosting Raw. That was like a shock.
Yeah.
And
even better when you don't even know what's going to happen.
And the music just hits and they just come out of nowhere. I agree.
Like when Warrior's music hit at WrestleMania 8.
Oh, man. He doesn't have a friend in the world.
What a great ending. A very underrated WrestleMania.
Arno Ocal said last night, by the way, when 3MB came out and interrupted the Shield, he said,
I think this
is the most mismatched interruption in history. I replied, by the way, I think Papa Shango interfering in a Hulk Hogan WrestleMania main event, probably the most mismatched
Papa Shango!
In history.
Where is he going?
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, that was all to build the Papa Shango Warrior feud.
Absolutely. But going forward, back to In Your House, by the way. Joe, any other matches that you can remember, you know, big matches that stood out to you? Just the little things I remember. I remember Undertaker flash papering Paul Bearer in the corner.
I remember that
with burning him in the face set when he had that whole feud with Mankind going. That was crazy stuff. Foley and Taker had a whole bunch of those, like, small In Your House event fights. And Foley said in his DVD, he said, I give Taker a lot of credit in some of those smaller matches that nobody really talks about. He really put me on the map. Obviously, Bret and Austin had a couple of fights there that put them on the map too. You brought up Canadian Stampede.
Yeah, I'm sure you remember. I mean, I believe Bret and the Patriot may have been at one.
Bret the Patriot was at both In Your House, Ground Zero, and
Ground Zero
Bad Blood 97, the debut of the Hell in a Cell. That was the undercard WWE Championship match when Shawn and Taker.
Shawn and Taker.
Absolutely.
Which was just brought up in the chat room. But another one.
Yep.
There are, like, overall, the pay-per-views weren't good, but you could pretty much find the good match on pretty much
not
all
of them. Not on all of them.
About every other one.
Yeah, definitely.
You could pick out a good match.
I think the first main event was Diesel versus Sid in a Lumberjack match.
Well, you know how I feel about Lumberjack matches.
And the next one was Diesel teaming up with Aldo Montoya versus Sid and British Bulldog, maybe.
I think it is Sid and British Bulldog.
Right there. Just a weird concept.
Aldo Montoya, right there's a name drop for you.
I'm sure they highlighted all the good stuff. It's a very cool era in WWE. I mean, obviously you get to pick the good stuff out of it. But it's like I always get excited when I go back to that old stuff because I just love how colorful and flashy
WWE always
was back then. You know what I mean? You had all these different wrestlers in different outfits and flashy music and Shawn's entrance and Brandt. And it was really, really cool. And it seems like it's lost a little bit of that. Guys just don't stand out like they used to. You know what I mean? Even if it got a little too cheesy at some point, like I don't think we needed a Portuguese Man of War or a NASCAR driver or T.L. Hopper.
Was that the everybody needs to have a job era?
Exactly.
Vince.
Yeah. That's
sometimes you got it, sometimes you don't.
It's not good when all the boys are talking behind their back about what the hell are they doing right now. But you know what?
We have a hockey player. Yeah. We have Abe Knuckleball Schwartz.
Look across business there at the same time. I don't know what it was about 95. There was just something in the water because you got like the Hogan Dungeon of Doom crap going
on. Yeah, I mean, but I'm not going to lie. At the time, I was a little more leaning towards Dungeon of Doom Hogan type stuff.
Wow.
I'm not going to lie. I Brother Brudai and attacking Hogan and stuff, going Zodiac.
The Yeti and the Giant molesting Hogan with a bear hug.
Yeah, the Yeti was kind of a little weird. And obviously, you never end up finding out who those guys are. A lot of a lot of mysteries in the world of professional wrestling, sports entertainment.
Absolutely. And only on this show could we start with Headlines of Extreme Rules and end with In Your House and the Yeti from WCW. But that is why we are Wrestle Reaction. We are that damn good. Frank Manzo, Joe Omega, thank you for joining us again for another great episode of Wrestle Reaction.
I had fun.
It will be uploaded tomorrow on the website. For anybody who hasn't seen it, follow us at Wrestle_React, Wrestle Reaction on Facebook. Check back WrestleReaction.net all the time. Articles, new episodes, all kinds of things. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back next Tuesday.
And we believe in the Shield.